Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
My name is Tim Barton. I'm the lead pastor here at The Vine. And as we start this morning, and we are continuing in our series in Romans 8, but I want to start with something that's kind of this universal phrase that most everyone has said some version of all over the world, not all in English, but in some version. Usually it happens around the age of toddler, and then we just get better at saying it as we get older. And it's this phrase, I can do it myself. Those of you who have toddlers in the home right now really are feeling that, right? I can do it myself. I got it. And the thing is, as we grow, that doesn't really go away. And so when we come to the Christian life, for those that are followers of Jesus, we come to the Christian life, and the problem is that we come to the Christian life and we say the same thing, I can do it myself. The Bible says, no, you can't. In fact, we need God's help every single day, every moment of the day. Today we're going to see that we need specifically the help of the Holy Spirit. As we continue in Romans 8, we're in verses 26 through 27. And this is God's word. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So last week, we saw beginning in verse 18 of chapter 8, that Paul, who had gone through all manner of sufferings and hardships, if you want to hear more about that, you can go back and listen to last week's sermon if you weren't here. But he said that he had considered the facts, he had weighed the evidence, even though he had been through all these things, he's considered the facts, he's weighed the evidence, and he's determined that the sufferings and the challenges that we face in this life are worth it because we have a hope for the future and we have a hope that matters for today. And so we eagerly and patiently wait for that hope. Now what Paul's doing in verse 26 is he's continuing with his reasoning that the hardships are worth it. And he starts here in verse 26. He says, likewise. So likewise, or in the same way, Paul is saying, that we face challenges and sufferings in this life through the hope we have out of that first taste of the work of the Spirit in us. We talked about that last week. And for the hope we have that first taste of the work of the Spirit gives us expectation that there's more for us. In the same way, he's saying, we also have the Holy Spirit who is helping us in our weakness. So what we're going to see today is that, again, we need the help of the Holy Spirit because, first, we are weak. Now, when I say we are weak, we cringe. That goes against everything in our being. That goes against everything we're raised in. And first, I want to see, we're weak in general. Look at verse 26 again. Likewise, he says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now think about for a minute this grating against us, this idea that we are weak in general. In the business world, what do? We say we need to build our resume. Right? You need to build your resume. And when you're doing a resume, what do? You sell yourself, right? You need to be strong. You need to be accomplished. You need to be noticed. I remember the first time I was filling out something like that. The first time I filled out a resume, and I was like, actually, it might have been a college application. But the first time I was filling that out, I was like, wait a minute. This is confusing. All my life I've been told I need to work hard, be humble, and don't brag. And now I come to this resume and it's like, well, except now you can brag. Right? You see, everything in us, everything we're being taught says we need to be strong, be accomplished. Think about in school. So you're in high school right now. Some of you in here are. In high school, what are you often trying to do, even when you don't realize? You're trying to get people to notice you or to like you, to see the things you think are good and not let them see the weakness. Not let them see the things you don't want them to see. Dating, right? I just saw a few people exhale as soon as I said dating, right? If you're close enough, you think back to dating, just it's like, oh, because what happens in dating, right? In dating, it's like, I've got to put my best foot forward. I got to make sure they see that. But inevitably, at some point, right, you can't hide it forever. The other is going to see your weakness. And you just hope at that point they love you enough that they've decided they'll love you in your weakness. Right? If you've been married for any length of time, you know that's necessary. Also, though, what do we celebrate about? What do we think about? Like, when we get old, what are we going to celebrate? We kind of act like we're going to celebrate our accomplishments sometimes, or we're going to celebrate our legacy. But here's the deal. I talk to people all the time. And as they get older, they begin to realize those things they thought were going to mean so much, when faced with the frailty of life, don't mean near what they thought they would be. All the places we try to be strong, and there's more, I'm just giving examples, but all the places we try to be strong will eventually fade when things break down in this life, when we're faced with sufferings and challenges. Biblically speaking, let me give you an example. Moses, right? Okay, you look at Moses, and you look at Moses' resume on the surface from what everybody could see, and you look at that, and you're like, dude, he was a pretty strong guy. Right, Moses went to Pharaoh, who was the ruler of the biggest part of the world at the time, this greatest ruler, and he goes to Pharaoh, and he's like, hey, Pharaoh, you know the song, let my people go. Right, Pharaoh, you're going to let these people go. And we're like, wow, yeah, good job, Moses, that's amazing. But don't forget that before he went to Pharaoh, he was telling God, I don't think I can do this, God. I don't think I can do this. Actually, God, I'm afraid of public speaking. Could you send Aaron with me? Right? Or he goes to the Red Sea, and we look at it, we're like, Moses parted the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went through. The Egyptians came behind. The Red Sea falls on them. It destroys the army of Egypt. And we think, good job, Moses. But right before that, Moses was trembling, like, what am I going to do? The armies are coming, and we're backed up against the sea. What do we do, Lord? And the Lord does it. You see, in those things, even when we look strong on the outside, our trust needs to be in the Lord. And Moses, whose resume looked great, by the way, in Psalm 90, towards the end of his life, you know what he talks about? He talks about the frailty of life. He talks about the limitations. There are many other examples, but my point is this, is that we are weak in our own strength. Even when we look strong on the outside, we are weak. And we will face the sufferings and the challenges. And when we do, over time, our weaknesses are going to be revealed. And so the Holy Spirit, it says, helps us in our weakness. This term helps us, or helps, is only used twice in the New Testament. It's used here, and it's used when Mary and Martha, or when Jesus goes to Mary and Martha's, and you remember Mary's there, and she's just soaking things in. She's listening to Jesus, and just right at Jesus' feet, and Martha is in preparing food. Well, eventually Martha's had enough, and she comes in, and she says, Jesus, Matt, or Lord, can't you see that I'm preparing all this food? Tell my sister to come help me. Right? Tell my sister to come bear this burden with me as I prepare here. Right? So, this bear this burden, what it means is to come alongside someone else who has picked up a heavy load and to carry it with them. That's what the Holy Spirit says the Holy Spirit does for his people. He bears that burden along with us. And y'all, that's extremely important. If you are a follower of Jesus here today, you want to know why this matters? If you're a follower of Jesus here today, if you're going to be faithful to being a follower of Jesus, you're going to need the Holy Spirit's help because, remember, we're united to Jesus. Remember, verse 17 of chapter 8 said that we are going to face sufferings and persecutions. We are united with Jesus in his sufferings, and we are going to face them. And there are going to be hardships, and we also live in this broken and sinful world. And so if we're going to consider those sufferings and hardships on earth worth it, if we're going to make it through that, we need the Holy Spirit's help. And then specifically in this context, he's saying we need the Holy Spirit's help in our prayers because we are also weak in prayer. Now, when I say weak in prayer, look at verse 26b. It says this, it begun with the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Second part says, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. As we ought. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I want you, if you've ever been in a situation and you just really didn't know what to pray, raise your hand. Now, everybody look around a minute. Okay, so you're not alone, right? We've been in those situations where we don't know what to pray. As a pastor, I've sat with people. I know Pastor John would share the same thing, and Mark and Andrew. You sit with people, and there's moments, and you're just going, Lord, I don't know. I'm not even sure what to pray right now. Maybe you wanted to pray. Maybe you knew you needed to pray. But you also, at times, may have become so overwhelmed with what you were witnessing or with what you're experiencing. And you saw and you faced this dire situation, this seemingly hopeless situation. And the best you could come up with was, Lord, help. Lord, help. Or maybe you couldn't even get that out and it was just, please. Or no more. Or as one of the people in early prayer said, sometimes it's just, ugh. That's all we've got. Maybe you came in this morning and you're in a situation like that. You're hoping for something. And we cry out with you. We would love the privilege to pray with you in that way. But more importantly, the Holy Spirit does. And that leads us to our second point. We need the help of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Now, to intercede, most of us know this, but it means to speak, to act, to intervene on the behalf of another. And in the Bible, that's most often seen in the context of prayer. Jesus intercedes for his people after he lived his perfect life here, died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, rose again from the dead, defeating the power of sin. It says that he's sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for his people. We also know in Scripture that followers of Jesus intercede for one another. And then in this passage, the Holy Spirit speaks or intervenes, intercedes on behalf of God's children. Now, to understand that, we need to remember that earlier in chapter 8, we were told that we're able to cry out to God the Father, Abba, Father, Daddy. We're able to cry out to him. But is it true that, just think about this for a second, is it true that sometimes in our weakness, we feel too weak to act like children of God, to trust that he's one we can come to and we can bring anything and cry out to him? We feel too weak to act like children and confidently approach the Father. We don't feel like we can pray. In that, the Spirit helps us. He intercedes. He intervenes. and he does so in deep and meaningful prayer. Look at the third part of verse 26. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Spirit intercedes with groans that words cannot express. Last week we saw creation groans and we groan. But now the Spirit groans. And what this is showing us is that the Holy Spirit is interceding with groaning on our behalf to help us understand that he takes up our needs to the deepest emotional level possible. With the deepest care, he conveys our hurts and cares to the Father. And what's amazing is he does it all in line with the will of God. Y'all, pause on that for a minute. This isn't just some theological jargon. This should matter. This should be a comfort to us because it means that we can pour out our hearts before him. Psalm 62:8, which I used in the pastoral prayer a moment ago, says this: Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. And as we pour out our hearts, he takes those, and the Spirit, Holy Spirit, also intercedes for us in prayer aligned to the Father's will. Look at verse 27 now. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And let me just address real quick who the saints are, because it can be confusing about that. Saints are anyone who's acknowledged our own sin and professed faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and trusting him. Those are the saints of God. And so if you were in here today and you were a follower of Jesus, you were walking with him, that's who we are. And so this is speaking then, it's a promise for the saints. It says, he who searches hearts. Who searches hearts? God the Father, right? God searches hearts. How do we know this? Well, we see it all over the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let me give you just a few examples. First is we see King David saying in Psalm 139, 23, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And then David talking to his son Solomon, before Solomon ascends the throne, he says, And you, Solomon, my son. This is in 1 Chronicles 28:9. You can write these down. I forgot to get them on the screen. But 1 Chronicles 28:9, And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. And then the prophet Jeremiah shares the Lord's word to the people of Israel. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. Now fast forward all the way to Revelation 2, verse 23. It says, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the mind and heart. What's the point? The point is that the Father searches and knows all human hearts. So as the Spirit takes our deepest feelings and unexpressed needs to the Father understands them. Father hears them and he understands them. And since God searches and knows every heart, guess what? We can pray freely from our heart. We can lay these things before the Lord. You know, sometimes I think we think, and it's true, we can impress other people with our spiritual sounding prayers. One of the things, I was actually teaching the associate members class recently, and one of the kids goes, man, when you pray, I love it. I said, you know what I love? I love it when you pray. Because spiritual sounding prayers don't matter any more than the groans from the deep heart of his people. Pour out your heart honestly to him. He knows your heart. Pour it out to him. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, what if my prayers don't make sense? Sometimes they don't, and they won't, and that's okay. where we think, isn't there some formula I need to follow to make sure God hears me? No, we have a model for prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that gives elements of prayer. We have other models of prayer in Scripture, but it's not a formula to make sure God hears us. You know the formula for God to hear you? You're a child of God through Jesus Christ, and the Spirit intercedes for you. That's the formula. And you didn't do anything to create it, and neither did I. One of the things that burdens my heart most is when God's people don't understand that this is the access we have to God. And when we don't understand that God takes that and uses it and aligns it to His will. And so we just don't pray. But y'all, we need to. This passage then is saying that as followers of Jesus, as we walk with Him, we can trust that God knows the depths of our hearts and what we're thinking. And through the Holy Spirit, we'll take our prayers, our mumblings, our bumblings, our stumblings, and do exactly what He says He'll do. He'll intervene. He'll help us. He'll intercede for us in our sufferings and our challenges. And so He takes it all, right? And He puts it in line with the will of God so we can be free to just pray and lay it before Him. Now, there's not a person in this room that knows, I'm going to say it this way, the declared will of God, right? What we all know, what we all have access to, let me say it that way, is God's will and His word. So this isn't saying that you can go pray, Lord, I'm going to cheat on this test. Can you bless that for me? Or Lord, I really want to marry that unbeliever, so can you just kind of overlook that and let me do that? Or Lord, I'm just going to kind of do some faulty business practices here. It'll be okay, right? Can you just kind of overlook that? Bless me here. I could keep going. I won't. Those things are clearly not in the will of God. The Holy Spirit isn't going to take that and make it in the will of God. All right? To think that, I told the first service, because I know we have kids in here and I want to be really clear, to think that or to act that way is just the holy way to say that is not in line with God's word. The way I want to say it to you right now is that's just dumb. Right? That is not, like, we can't read the Bible and come to that. So, what does happen, now the positive side, is that what the Holy Spirit does do is takes our groanings, our cries, and He interprets them before the Father and makes them according to His will, makes them pleasing in His sight. A few months ago, I was back in the nursery, and I was sitting on the floor with some kids, and they were kind of crawling around, and one little girl comes up to me, and, you know, this is before a kid can talk, right, can actually say real words. And you've all experienced this, or you've seen this, or most of you have, that the kid comes up to you, and if you take the time to at least pretend like you're trying to listen, they come up to you, and they say something, adawa, and you look at me like, what are you talking about? But you're trying, you know, whatever, we don't understand. Well, that happened to me in the nursery that day. I'm sitting in the nursery. This little girl comes up to me and she goes, adawa. I'm like, what are we speaking here? I said, what? She goes, adawa. I said, yeah, okay. She goes, adawa. Going, okay, I have no idea what you're saying. Her mom was in the service, so I couldn't ask her. So she's getting, like, animated, and she grabs my face. Adawa. I'm like, okay, I don't know. Her mom came back and described to me that she wants water. I'm like, oh, I should have known that. Should have gotten there. Sometimes that's what our prayers are. And the Holy Spirit takes them. And to the God who knows the hearts of men and women, He takes them and He aligns them to His will. And He clears them. As we eke out words, as we pray according to God's will the best we can, what we know in His Word. The Spirit will correct our request. He'll line them up to God's sovereign will. Now, I was talking with an elder right before the first service. We were just kind of talking through this a little bit. And I told him, I said, you know what I just came to the conclusion of? I could preach on this passage for 4 hours today. And after 25 minutes or 30 minutes or after 4 hours, we would still have the same mystery. We do what we can to explain it the best that we're able with God's word. But these are some of the mysteries of God, exactly how the Spirit of God is doing this with the Father. And so it's not for us to fully understand. If you're waiting until you fully understand it, to trust God and run to your Father with prayer, these deep prayer, then you're missing out on something great. Because this isn't for us to fully understand. It's for us to find comfort in. And so today, do you find comfort here? Do you recognize, will you admit that you need the help of the Holy Spirit? And then be thankful in that. I want you to just think about this question for a couple minutes. Are you thankful for the help, for the comfort of the Holy Spirit? I want you to spend a minute and thank Him for what He's done. Thank Him for His work in you. Maybe you just need to eke something out right now. Make me thankful. But spend a minute, go before Him, and then I'll close this portion of our service in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your Spirit's work. And Lord, we ask that You would keep working in us as we go from here today, helping us to find comfort in You, to trust You, to be able to call out before You again and again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.